Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 7, Text 8, Translation and Commentary, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
Sasanghitam Bhagavatim Kritvanukramya Chatmajam Shukam Adhyapayam Asa Nivritti Niratang Munihi.
This Brahma Sutra or Vedanta Sutra is meant for those who are already engaged in self-realization. Srimad Bhagavatam is so made that one becomes at once engaged in the path of self-realization simply by hearing the topics. Although it is especially meant for the Paramahamsas, or those who are totally engaged in self-realization, it works into the depths of the hearts of those who may be worldly men. Worldly men are all engaged in sense gratification. But even such men will find in this Vedic literature a remedial measure for their material diseases. Shukdev Goswami was a liberated soul from the very beginning of his birth, and his father taught him Srimad Bhagavatam. Amongst mundane scholars, there is some diversity of opinion as to the date of compilation of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is, however, certain from the text of the Bhagavatam that it was compiled before the disappearance of King Parikshit and after the departure of Lord Krishna, when Maharaj Parikshit was ruling the world as the king of Bharatavarsha, he chastised the personality of Kali. According to revealed scriptures and astrological calculation, the age of Kali is in its 5,000th year. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled not less than 5,000 years ago. Mahabharata was compiled before Srimad Bhagavatam, and the Puranas were compiled before Mahabharata. That is an estimation of the date of compilation of the different Vedic literatures. The synopsis of Srimad Bhagavatam was given before the detailed description under instruction of Narad. Srimad Bhagavatam is the science for following the path of Nivritti Marg. The path of Pravritti Marg was condemned by Narada. That path is the natural inclination for all conditioned souls. The theme of Srimad Bhagavatam is the cure of the materialistic disease of the human being, or stopping completely the pangs of material existence.
Sasanghitang Bhagavatim Kritvanukramya Chatmajam Shukam Adhyapayamasa Nivritti Niratang Munihi.
The great sage Vyasadeva, after compiling the Srimad Bhagavatam and revising it, taught it to his own son, Sri Shukadev Goswami, who was already engaged in self-realization. Here within the Srimad Bhagavatam, within its very text, is Srimad Bhagavatam Mahatmyam, or Mahima, glorification of Srimad Bhagavatam with a history of its compilation. The history of its compilation has already been given in the fifth chapter and in more detail even in other Puranas. This is Sanghita. This word is given here. So Sanghita Bhagavatam. This is Sanghita. Sanghita means that compilation. Prabhupada gives the translation here. The great sage Vyasadeva, after compiling the Srimad Bhagavatam, not just written, but the word compilation means that taking from various sources and giving the Sanghita means to take and give the essence. So Srimad Bhagavatam is a vast work.
we have information from Srila Jiv Goswami has given that in the heavenly planets there are 1 lakh verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. And actually it's unlimited because it's Bhagavatim. It's in relationship with the personality of Godhead. But it's presented in various ways and various forms in various times. This may lead some people to think that the Srimad Bhagavata or the Puranas, they're not very important. Shruti is very important. This is the claim of some supposed Vedic scholars that we only accept Shruti or the original Vedas, that which was passed down by hearing. There's a theory among anthropologists that we can judge the level of civilization by the level of its literature. And literatures that don't... Civilization, that's one of the definitions of civilization, anthropological definitions, that they must have writing. Without writing, they can't really be called a civilization. Otherwise, they're just cavemen or Stone Age. And hieroglyphics is supposed to represent the beginning of civilization. What they don't know is that previously there was a civilization advanced beyond what you can imagine. They didn't write because they had such good brains they could remember everything. Therefore, Shruti Dhar, anyone who is competent to remember what they hear is called Shruti Dhar. You hear and you hold it. But previously the whole civilization was Shruti Dhar. So one would hear from Shruti. So the Shruti, that is supposed to be fixed, although there are different schools of Vedic knowledge and different shakas, most of which nowadays are completely dead. There's very, very few actual Vedic lines left to still teach the Vedas by recitation and hearing, and even then what they teach is only very limited. It's maybe one Veda, Yajurveda, Madhyandani Shaka, something like this. So Srila Vyasadeva, this is the history of Srimad Bhagavatam, he's seeing that Prayanal Payasu Sabhya Kalavasmin Yuge Janaha Mandasu Manda Matayo Manda Bhagya Hi Upadruta. Seeing that the condition of people in Kali Yuga, short-lived, short-tempered, not specifically mentioned here, but we can deduce that, short on brain power, short on brain power means the intelligence, there are different functions. One is dharana shakti, to shruti dhara, means he can, what he hears, he holds it, he remembers it. Otherwise it's called smriti shakti, so the ability to remember. So this is much less in Kali Yoga. Then another function of intelligence is to understand, and that's even less. That even if it's written down and you read it, and the tendency to misunderstand is very strong. Due to manda buddhi, bad intelligence, viparita buddhi, buddhi working in the opposite direction. So in the modern age, the Vedas, more important are the Puranas. Now, some people say, well, the Puranas, they're modern. Previously, the Puranas weren't there. And they're not fixed like the Vedas, so they're man-made inventions. There are certain people who claim like this. Arya Samajis, for instance. Dayananda Saraswati, whose name is wholly inappropriate, because what he gave to society, his theories, is not at all Daya. It's more like Krurananda, is very cruelly misrepresented. And Saraswati means he should be a learned scholar, but he's with proper understanding, but not at all. Maybe some modicum of learning, but his understanding is wholly misunderstanding. So he was the founder of the Arya Samaj, which is not so prominent now, but at the beginning of the 20th to end of the 19th century was influential and has contributed its part to the downfall of India. As Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was saying, he was lambasted by the members of the Indian National Congress and the Swaraj, people fighting for Swaraj, that you're like a dalal or chela of the British. You're cooperating with the British. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur thought these people, they want to remove the British because they think the British are doing harm to India. But these people like Gandhi and Vivekananda, they're doing much more harm. Gandhi thought he was the friend of India, but by his malinterpretations of Shastra, he was actually doing far more harm than the British. That was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's outlook. Of course, they're all doing harm in various ways. So this theory that the Puranas are something modern, no. It's rather they appear in human society at certain times, and at other times they may not be seen, but they're always there. This question was given to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur once. He was in Shillong during the rainy season, and that's Meghalaya. Now it's called Meghalaya. That time it was Assam, part of Assam. So Meghalaya, you can understand from the name, there's a lot of rain there. When it rains, and heavily. So he was sitting in one man's house, and it was raining outside. So they were just sitting in, they were prisoners practically. So they were talking. And outside there was a running track for horses. So this man, he put the question that, well, the Puranas, they're not eternal. He said, yes, they're eternal, but it's like this. If you see a horse running past your window, would you think that just as it comes past your window, it comes into existence? And then again, when it goes past, it ceases to exist. No, that you don't see it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. This is the kind of conclusion that one comes to when one thinks oneself as the center of the universe. So the Puranas, they are eternal, and they are required because Purana means that which is very old, and it also means Purayate. Puriyate iti Purana, that which makes complete, that is Purana. So what is implicit in the Vedas is explicit in the Puranas, especially Bhagavad Purana. Implicit in the Vedas means Trividya Veda, Trividya, what is that? Triguna Vishaya Veda. The Vedas, they mostly deal with the three modes of material nature, but Srimad Bhagavatam is Sasanghitam Bhagavatim, is concerned directly with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it may take different forms, it may be presented somewhat differently in different times and places, but the subject matter, the essence, is always Sarvavetaitihasanam saram saram udahritam. The very essence of all the Vedas, even though it may take different forms, even Bhagavad Gita, that Krishna, he spoke Bhagavad Gita to Vivasvan. So when he spoke to Vivasvan, the form of the verses were presumably many of the verses. The form of them would have been different to that spoken to Arjuna. Presumably, he didn't tell Vivasvan, Ma Manusmara Yudhya Cha, because it was a different circumstance. He didn't tell Vivasvan to fight. And Vivasvan said, why are you telling me to fight? Well, I'm speaking the Bhagavad Gita. Matah Parataram Nanyat Kinchidasti. He certainly said this to Vivasvan, but the next word, Dhananjay, presumably he didn't say that, because that is a specific address for Arjuna. So when Krishna says, Imam Vivasvate Yogam Proktavanaham Avyam Vivasvan, I spoke this to Vivasvan, then presumably the form of the verses in which he spoke, many of them may have been different. Some may have been the same also. Najayate Mriyate Va Kadachin Nayang Bhutva, such verses which parallel the Upanishadic verses. Presumably they may have been the same, or they may have been a little bit different, as this Najayate Mriyate verse also appears slightly differently in the Upanishads. But the message is going to be the same. That's why one requires to be Saragrahi, one who is expert in accepting the essence, one who is not simply attached to the rules and the procedures and the form, but can understand the message. This is described about Parikshit Maharaj. He was someone who could understand the essence. So therefore he was a fit candidate to hear from Shukadeva Goswami. So this Srimad Bhagavatam is a samhita, is a compilation. Compilation means to take, compilation can mean different things. It basically means to take from one source or various sources and reassort it in a manner that is suitable for those it is intended for. So we have Brahma Samhita, which is a compilation, which is actually the essence of the fifth chapter of Brahma Samhita. We don't know what's in the other chapters, but the fifth chapter is the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Brahma Samhita means it's a compilation on the subject matter of Brahma, this absolute truth, or the Vedas. This is the essence of all the Vedas. And Srimad Bhagavatam is an exposition of the Brahma Sutra. So this Srimad Bhagavatam was made anukramya, by correction and repetition, by Vyasadeva. It is a compilation, and on the basis of that, so many other compilations have come up. Bhaktivinoda Thakur made his Bhagavat Arka Marichimala, sorting out the subject matters of Srimad Bhagavatam into various categories. And Jiva Goswami's Sandarbhas, they are compilations and expositions of the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam. So the knowledge is the same, but it may be presented in various forms, in various times, deshkal patra, various times, various receivers, various circumstances. But this Srimad Bhagavatam, it is the essence of all the Vedic literatures. And although the essence of all the Vedic literatures may be presented in various ways and at various times, this Srimad Bhagavatam is the most authoritative Shastra. For those who are Sarabritam or Saragrahi, those who are essence seekers, they will appreciate Srimad Bhagavatam because it is Dharma Projita Kaitava Atra. It is rejecting all that is superficial. It is meant for Paramo Nirmat Saranam Satam, great elevated persons, non-envious. It is Vedam Vastavam. It is the actual message of the Vedas. In all the Vedas, this suggests Vedam Vastavam. Vedam Vastava suggests that whatever else is in the Vedas, it's not really the Veda at all. Or it's not what else, whatever else is in the Vedas, it's not explicitly stated as it is in Srimad Bhagavatam. So after reading through all the Vedas, if one doesn't come to the understanding, doesn't come to the conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam, then he's missed the point. So one has all of Vyasadeva's contribution, one has to come to Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, it is the most important of all books. Actually, there's one more, even more important, which is Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. But they're non-different. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is also based on Srimad Bhagavatam. You'll find it's quoted again. And what, again, in Srimad Bhagavatam, explicitly the subject matter is given. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Satyam Param Dhimahi Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. It's explicitly given. The Param Satya. All the Vedas are meant for understanding Satya. Whatever else is not in the Veda is Mithya. But Satyam Param, that is Krishna. That is very clearly stated in Srimad Bhagavatam. But there is one secret, even more in Srimad Bhagavatam, which is not explicitly stated, which only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed, Anarpita Chiring Chirat Karunyavata. Out of his mercy, he has appeared in Kali Yuga and revealed that which even Vyasadeva directly did not reveal. It's not explicitly, it's implicitly there in Srimad Bhagavatam. Anaya radhito nunam Bhagavan Haririshvara. The actual subject of Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna, yes, but Krishna, he is subordinate to the love of Srimati Radharani. Not explicitly stated, implicitly. You may say, well, there's only that word there, and it's not very clear. It doesn't seem to be like that. How can you say actual subject matter of Bhagavatam is not just Krishna? And there is no just Krishna. There is Radha Krishna. So Prabhupada gave the example, Shahjahan, one dramatist had written one drama called Shahjahan, in which Shahjahan hardly appears in the book. He's arrested by Aurangzeb, stuck in prison, and all the rest of the book is all the rest of the drama is about Aurangzeb. So, why you call Shahjahan? Why didn't you call Aurangzeb? He said, because the whole point to be understood how this Aurangzeb, he's such a rascal and doing this and doing that. And Shahjahan is simply sitting in prison and lamenting. That why did I give birth to this rascal? So, the author can understand. Prabhupada gave this example. That the author, he can understand. Although in this case, it seems that Shukadev Goswami, he understood even better than Vyas, because Aham Vedmi Shuko Veti Vyasa Veti Na Veti Va. Lord Shiva says, I understand, I know. Shukadev Goswami, he knows. Vyasadeva, maybe. Maybe he understands what Bhagavatam's all about. But anyway, bhaktya bhagavata grahya. Na buddhya na chatikaya. By bhakti, Bhagavatam can be understood. Not by one's intelligence, not by studying many commentaries, but one who is blessed by Shukadev Goswami, he can understand. Shukamakad amrita drava sangyutam, this which Vyasadeva gave, has this ripened fruit, galitam palam, just like the ripe mango becomes even sweeter when pecked by the shuk parrot. Sometimes we see pictures or representations of Shukadev Goswami, and he's represented as a human figure but a parrot-like head. Although Prabhupada didn't represent him like this, and it seems to be some imagination. But Shuk, he's called Shuk. Of course, there's a long history behind that. Shukadev, but his understanding of Bhagavatam or his presentation of Bhagavatam makes it even sweeter. And the essence of Bhagavatam is sweetness. Bhagavatam is a philosophical work. It's Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam. It is the scientific presentation of the subject matter of Bhagavan, of the Bhagavats, and of the link between Bhagavan and the Bhagavats, the devotees. That link is bhakti. So this philosophically describes why he is satyam param and why dhimahi, why we should meditate upon him. This is established in Srimad Bhagavatam. Ahameva sameva agre, himself he has spoken, how he is supreme. That is explained in various categories, sarga, visarga, all the different categories of Srimad Bhagavatam. The conclusion is that Krishna is supreme, and Vyasadeva has presented this, but there's more also to his being supreme. Generally, if someone's supreme, he's the supreme Lord, then there's some sense of fear, awe. He is so great and so powerful, then how can we approach him? If you come before, you may be asked to, you might be called to speak before the Lok Sabha. So if you're called to speak before the Lok Sabha, you might be very nervous because the Prime Minister's there and all the cabinets there and all the leading gundas in the country are there. So you might be very nervous. You say something wrong, they might shoot you. I might get arrested for saying that. You wouldn't say that in front of them. So you might be very nervous that these are all very great people. So someone who's very great, they're very powerful, can be afraid of them, because if you say something wrong, then off with his head. They can immediately shoot you, have you hung. They can just, of course, in a democracy it's not supposed to happen like that, but when someone has absolute power, they can just do what they like. And that's one reason in the modern age they don't like the idea of monarchy or absolute dictatorship. The last reason that George Bush's reasons for invading Iraq have shown to be erroneous. The last reason he can give is that, well, we had to depose Saddam because he was so bad. And actually, he was bad. He's not so bad now. He doesn't have so much scope to be. But it was like that. If you say something against Saddam, then you won't be seen anymore. It was nice knowing you, but Saddam didn't think so, and so you are now Saddamed to death. So someone who's very powerful, you should be afraid. Fear God, otherwise you will burn in hell forever. You should be afraid. It's a very serious threat. So Krishna, he is Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. He's more powerful than trillions of Saddams put together. But he's also Suhridam Sarvabhutanam. He's also the very, very intimate friend of every living being. That's a relief. And we take it, okay, so I can do all nonsense. He's my best friend. And actually it's true in one sense. He does allow us. He does allow us, but at the same time, he's not very happy. He wants us to be with him. So he's all powerful. And this is established in Srimad Bhagavatam. How Hiranyakashipu, who himself was at least millions of times more powerful than Saddam, he was finished. Tavakara kamalavarena kamadbhuta shringham dalita Hiranyakashipu tanubringham. Finished. Big Hiranyakashipu became a big bloody mess on the lap of Nrisimhadev. So the power of the Supreme is presented in Sri. He is the Supreme. Out of fear of him, the wind blows. Out of fear of him, the planets move. But there's more to it also. For those who are rasagraha, who can accept the rasa, then more important than Nrisimhadev's fury, kopa, that word is used. Kopa, there are different words for anger. Kopa means severe anger, uncontrolled, fury, the fury of Nrisimhadev. But those who are sarabritam, those who accept the essence, they can find out that more important than Nrisimhadev's anger is his kindness upon Prahlad Maharaj, which is the very reason for his coming. Not so much to punish Hiranyakashipu, because whoever powerful Hiranyakashipu was, his mother is more powerful, Durga Devi. She can punish him. But Nrisimhadev, he personally came out of love for Prahlad. So this rasa, Srimad Bhagavatam, the most important point here is that, yes, philosophically, it's established that Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam, but there's more to be understood. He's God and we're subordinate, yes. But there's more to be understood. That is, the Bhagavatam is the archetypal rasa shastra. There are so many rasa shastras. On the basis of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Sri Gita Govinda, and so many rasa shastras, Lalita Madhava, Vidagdha Madhava, Bengali Padavali, is all based on, so much of it is based on Gita Govinda. All based on Srimad Bhagavatam. So Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalaya Mohoraho Rasika Bhuvibhavaka. The rasa of loving Krishna. And love not out of, that's fear and love, they don't come together. Then fear in love means one can be fearful of separation from the lover. But as much as there is fear, that much there cannot be love. And as much as there is love, there cannot be fear. So these love, if you love a person, you don't fear them. You have love, the base of love is trust. Trust that they are suhrit, they are our well-wisher. Not just well-wisher, mitra, we can say. But suhrit means that, well, Krishna himself is expressed, sadavo hridayo mahyam sadunam hridayam tvaham madanyatena jananti nahang tebyo managapi. That the sadhus, the devotees, they are my heart. You want to know what's in my heart? Krishna says, my devotees. And I'm in their heart. Why? Because they know nothing but me, and I know nothing but them. So, Krishna is the heart-to-heart friend of every living being. Every jiva is Krishna conscious by nature. We cannot convert anyone to bhakti because it is the very nature of the jiva. We know what we're saying. Some people may say, well, you go to some temple and we mlechas, we have to, in some place, you have to sign that I am a converted Hindu. So, all right, you can go in the temple. I ask, what's the proof that you are a Hindu? And you got tilak and japa mala and kanti mala. And, what proof do you want? Where's your certificate? This is certificate. But you have to sign, I am a converted Hindu. Okay, you can go. But you cannot convert someone to Krishna consciousness because the jiva is by nature Krishna conscious. There's no question of conversion. We are not engaged in converting anyone from Shakta or Ganapatya or just generic Hindu to bhakti. Because the jiva is by nature a bhakta. A bhakta, not an abhakta. That is his perverted nature. He thinks, jiva swarup Krishna das nahi. That is the perverted thinking of the jiva. So, Krishna is the well-wisher of every living being. His greatness is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, but that greatness, the greatness of his power, the greatness of his opulence, the greatness of his knowledge, these are not so important. Madhurja Bhagavata Sa. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught this, that the essence of Bhagavan's Bhagavata, the essence of, what is it that makes him God? Krishna is a person, I am a person. Krishna has two hands, I have two hands. Krishna has knowledge, I have knowledge. Krishna is a living being, I am a living being. So why do we say he is God and I am his servant? What is it that makes him God? Well, we can say he has all power, all opulence. Yes, yes, yes. These are all qualities of God. His opulence, his power, his all knowledge. But most important, Madhurja Bhagavatasa, his sweetness. Now that's impossible for all except the most advanced transcendentalists to understand. The topmost value of sweetness. Even the Vaikuntavasis, who are also appreciating the sweetness of Narayana, it's not that he's not sweet, Narayana is millions of times sweeter than any sweetness we can imagine in this material world. By sweetness here we're referring to the personal characteristic and quality of the Lord. But still, Krishna, who is Narayana, his sweetness, even more so. But the Vaikuntha Vasis, being awed by and appreciative of his greatness, do not appreciate the greatness of Krishna's sweetness. And even those who worship Krishna in Dwaraka, from Chaitanya, from the Vrajavasi, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's outlook, that the sweetness of Krishna, cowherd boy Krishna, Gopala Krishna, Radha Krishna, that is the essence of the essence. Saram Saram Yudaharitam, taken from all the Shastras, Sarvavedeti Hasanam. So Srimad Bhagavatam is presenting the sweetness. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu unlocked that. He gave that. What is in Srimad Bhagavatam? Srimad Bhagavatam explicitly states that which is implicit in all other Vedic literatures. And that which is implicit in Srimad Bhagavatam, the secret within the secret, has been unlocked by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Shukdev Goswami, he knew, but he didn't make it, he didn't explicitly reveal it for various reasons. One being the audience, the people that are not fit, except Parikshit Maharaj. They're not fit to understand. Even Narad Muni might have had some hesitation in accepting the conclusion of Shukadeva. The conclusion, not the Siddhanta. Well, Siddhanta, there are various levels also. There's Bhakti Siddhanta. Siddhanta is Bhakti, but the conclusion of Bhakti Siddhanta is Prem Siddhanta. And what is the Prem Parakashtha, the ultimate limit of Prem, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has revealed. So Vyasa Vedi Naveti Va, does he know or doesn't he? He should know. Otherwise, how could he have compiled this? But again, he presented Srimad Bhagavatam in a manner out of his mercy that's stated here in these previous verses. Lokasya janato vidvāṃs chakre sādvata saṅhitāṃ. Out of mercy for the conditioned souls who don't know that bhakti yoga to adhoksaja, the transcendent Lord, this is the means, shoka, moha, bhayavaha, this shravanādi bhakti, beginning with hearing. Hearing specifically means Srimad Bhagavatam. By hearing bhakti yoga, bhakti is kirtanakya, that is known as kirtan. Kirtan is bhakti. But the kirtan and shravan, they are inseparable. So this shravan of Srimad Bhagavatam, that is the beginning and the essence and the basis of that bhakti which will destroy all shoka, lamentation, moha, illusion, and fear. So Vyasadeva has given that. When Shukadeva Goswami left home, 16 years in the womb, Vyasadeva asked Krishna that, you please say something to the, he's just staying in the womb. Because he is, it says here, nivritti niratam munihi. He's engaged in self-realization. Here the word is given, self-realization. The Sanskrit term is nivritti, or more. There are various terms that can be given. Sadhana, bhajan, various terms. Nivritti, this specific term is used. Negation of the, well, a vritti means, how we say in English, occupation, tendency. So nivritti means to come out of the tendency to enjoy this material world. And pravritti means the tendency, generally used, this term means, when we say nivritti, pravritti, nivritti means to slacken or to come out of the tendency to enjoy this material world. And pravritti means the tendency to enjoy this material world. But then again, there's another pravritti, artha, anartha nivritti. When we slacken or come out of our anarthas, then we have to come to artha pravritti. We have to come to the positive cultivation of that which is our real self-interest. So Shukadeva Goswami was nirvritti, niranta, niratam. He was engaged constantly in nivritti. So he found that the womb of his mother, which is a horrible place, the description is given there in Srimad Bhagavatam, it's not a nice place, but he thought, this is a better place to be than outside the womb, because here, at least here there's no maya. So 16 years, and then Krishna, on the request of Vyasadeva, told Shukadeva, Vyasasuna, that you come out, I promise you'll be protected from mine. So he came out, but he thought, I don't know, I'm at home then. Then Vyasadeva, he may be Vyasadeva, the incarnation of God, but he's going to treat me like a son, and I'm going to get in my, okay, I'm leaving. Took off. Learned a little bit and took off. And then he didn't want to stay. So then his father devised a means that he doesn't want to hear all the, he thinks I'm in Maya because I made all these Vedas and Mahabharata and Puranas. But Vyasadeva wanted to teach him that which is of real value. So he arranged that his disciples in the forest would be reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. What is that? Bhagavapiram. The description of Krishna, his beauty, his sweetness. Shukadeva Goswami heard. Where did you hear that from? Vyasa? Okay, I'm going back. Then I'll study Srimad Bhagavatam. So he heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Vyas. Vyas knew that if he had his disciples reciting the Upanishads, or if he had his disciples reciting even Ahamevasamevagre, Nanyat Yat Sarasatva, then even then Shukadeva Goswami, yeah, that's nice, but I already know that, so I'm going. But oh, what's this? Atma Ramascha Muniyo, Muni, here, Muni described Shukadeva Goswami, Muni, thoughtful person. He's not just cramming in Shastra like some subject to be studied at school so that he can regurgitate it to show his knowledge. But he is considering, relishing Srimad Bhagavata Sarartham Asvado Rasikayasa. He's relishing, tasting that. by contemplation what is the subject matter of Krishna. So he found, this is something attractive. How can it attract me? I was staying in the womb so that I wouldn't be attracted to anything material. Now I've come out, I'm not attracted to family life. I'm not attracted even to putting any clothes on my body. I don't care that people are calling me bad names. He's tatamana pamana yoho suke duke samekritva. He's beyond duality of people blaming me or praising me, or he's beyond duality of material happiness or distress or heat or cold. He's not attracted to anything, nor is he repelled by anything. This is the test of a self-realized person. But now if I'm being attracted, so it must be something transcendental, because I cannot be attracted to anything material. What is that subject? The sweetness of Krishna. So Shukadeva Goswami went back and he studied Srimad Bhagavatam from Vyas, and he presented it again even more sweetly. But still, even great acharyas who could understand Srimad Bhagavatam and present very strongly, smashing the teeth of those who have no real teeth, only artificial teeth, the so-called Vedantists. Vedanti, no teeth. So no real teeth, they're only talking. But is what they're speaking is all blurred and unclear, the Mayavadis, because they have no teeth, they have no dharana shakti, they cannot catch the essence. Of course, this bay, it's Urdu, not Sanskrit, but Prabhupada gave that example. They call themselves Vedantists, but means in their case it means they have no teeth. They're just blah, 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 talking all nonsense. Nothing clear what they have to say. They have nothing clear in their minds. So the acharyas, Madhvacharya, he made his Bhagavata Tatparya Nirnaya. But even such great acharyas, they also could not present, only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the great acharyas, they couldn't present. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu presented. Boroja jubatya bhavera bhakati shakati hoito ka. Who, if it was not for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who could have presented this? This Bhagavata sa, Madhurja Bhagavata sa. What is that Madhurja? That the sweetness of Bhagavan. Bhagavan is very sweet. His Brahman effulgence is not very sweet. Paramatma, sweet, but more or less functional. Then the different avatars of the Lord, they're all very sweet. Nrsimhadev, with the blood of Hiranyakashipu spattered all over his body, is very sweet for those who can appreciate. All of Vamande, very beautiful, very sweet. Even we may think, Varahadev, how can he be sweet? Yes, he's very sweet. He's the Supreme Lord. There's no question of him being anything but sweet. But the sweetness of Krishna is more even than all the different avatars. They're also Krishna, but their sweetness is not on the level of that of Swayamrup, Dvibhuj, Muralidhar, Krishna. Of course, we can say this, but then again, we have to see what is our level of appreciation. We can say, but as long as we are interested in the sourness of this material world, then we cannot appreciate the sweetness of Krishna. As long as we are trying to enjoy this material world, then we cannot enjoy, though the devotee doesn't try to enjoy, but by the grace of Krishna he does enjoy bhakti sukh. But that bhakti sukh, that cannot be experienced as long as we are haunted by the ghosts, the witches of material desires. Bhukti mukti spriha yavat pishachi hridi vartate tavat bhakti sukhasyatra katam abhyudayo bhavet. As long as we are desiring material enjoyment or liberation from material enjoyment, then where is the question of enjoying the happiness of pure devotional service? So those who are sarabhritam, they can appreciate how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given what is actually the Vedyam Vastavam Atra Vastu. What is that Vastu, which is the Vedyam Vastavam Atra? It's this Srimad Bhagavatam. But who will find that? Who is blessed with the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? So this Srimad Bhagavatam, the Mahimar is here. There's another book. It's a book within a book, Srimad Bhagavatam Mahatmyam. I believe that appears in Padma Purana. But our Vaishnava Acharyas, they don't give much importance to this. Just like there's another book, the Bhagavad Gita Mahatmyam or Ekadashi Mahatmyam. But we don't give much importance. These Mahatmyas which are given are for the materialistic people to try to get them to give some attention. If you follow this Ekadashi, Putrada Ekadashi, you'll get a son. And if you follow this Ekadashi, you can go to the moon. Devotees, they perform Ekadashi, Vrata, because Harivasa, this day is especially dear to Krishna. Madhavatiti Bhakti Janani Jatane Palana Kari. Because this day is very dear to Krishna, therefore devotees observe Ekadashi Vrata. So similarly, the Bhagavad Gita Mahatmyam, that is there in Bhagavad Gita itself. Sanjay, who studies this with his intelligence, he worships me with this with his intelligence. So there, in Srimad Bhagavatam, here in various places in Bhagavatam, the Mahatmya of Srimad, the actual Mahatmya, not that nothing material is being offered. That by hearing Shoka Moha Bhaktirut Padyate Pungsa, one's bhakti for Adhoksaja, this will arise. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. It's very dear to the Vaishnavas. Because there's no dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Yasmin paramahamsyam ekam amalam jnanam param giyate. This possesses the knowledge, this is the knowledge given by and appreciated by paramahamsas. So those of higher disposition, they can appreciate what is Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam Mahatmya is there in the text of Srimad Bhagavatam. Tat trinvan supatan vicharana paro vimuchen naraha. So by hearing, carefully studying, applying one's intelligence to understand the subject matter, one can go back to Godhead. This is the actual Mahatmya of Srimad Bhagavatam. More Mahatmya, that Tadvag Visargo Janataga Vipla, not just for the Paramahamsas. Tadvag Visargo Go Janataga Viplavaha. It's also meant, this Srimad Bhagavatam is especially meant for the topmost Paramahamsas, but it's also meant for the most sinful people. Isn't that astonishing? But the point is, as Prabhupada mentions here, that even for others who are not Paramahamsas, even for people who are sinful, if somehow or other they become attracted to the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam, then their heart will change. Viplavaha. There'll be a change of heart. So this Srimad Bhagavatam, there is no literature comparable. That I was saying Chaitanya Charitamrita. Only. And then again, from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, so many other Bhagavata literatures have come. This Srimad Bhagavatam, Yasmin Pratishlokam Abadhavatyapi Namanyanantasya Yashonkitani Yach. This every word in every shloka, it is glorious, even if the grammatician may find some fault or someone may say he's not pronouncing properly, but it's glorious because it gives the presents the unlimited glories of the unlimited personalities of Godhead. Therefore, saintly persons, Shrinvanti, Gayanti, Grinanti, Sadhava, they hear, they chant, and they accept the version of Srimad Bhagavatam. So there's a great need. Prabhupada, he saw there's a great need in human society to replace the viasam tirtham, the garbage, the crow's pilgrimage place of garbage literature, with actual literature, Srimad Bhagavatam. People are very anxious to read so many things. Yesterday we were coming on the train from Dadar to Pune, and just on the opposite side, there was one lady, she read the newspaper the whole way. Usually people look at the newspaper for 10 minutes, or the whole way, and even then she didn't finish. I don't think, because it would take to read the whole newspaper would take a long time. All crow-like literature. This person, their life story before they got bombed to pieces and like this. But what does it matter, actually? And you say, well, you should show sympathy for the bomb victims. We're all victims. Don't think some people are victims. And those who are victims, yes, we're very sorry for them if they're blown to pieces before they got Prabhupada's books. That we're feeling very sorry. That is the story. Anyway, everyone has to die. Now, we're not saying that Al-Qaeda ki jai. We're not saying that. But we're saying that everyone is guilty. No innocent. The innocent victims. To say innocent victims means atheism. No one is innocent. Everyone is, the whole of Bombay is dedicated to sense enjoyment. People are sinful. The whole modern civilization is Janata Agha, sinful population. So Srimad Bhagavatam is required in human society. Prabhupada writes extensively in his commentary on this verse, this Tadvag Visargo verse, how there is a great need for propagation of Srimad Bhagavatam in human society. People, especially those people who have got money, they should spend it for propagation of Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada very much wanted that these books be distributed widely. He said there should be a complete set of Srimad Bhagavatam in everyone's house in America. Then what to speak of in India? Certainly more so required here. So that is one of the prime duties of the followers of Srila Prabhupada, to make Srimad Bhagavatam their life, as Srila Prabhupada said. That means to read Srimad Bhagavatam, live by Srimad Bhagavatam, speak Srimad Bhagavatam, and distribute these books. Now there's great opportunity that these Srimad Bhagavatam sets are available in English, Hindi. Full set is there in Marathi? How many volumes? Only 4 volumes. Anyway, it's getting there, slowly. So you can take these sets door to door. In Pune, people, so many people have money. Some of our devotees, they're doing that in Bangalore, where They're going in South Bangalore where people in general are quite rich, well-to-do. So they're going door-to-door, and every day they'll find 2-3 people who show some interest, and they just right on the door, they walk in, they see they're interested, they sit down, they show them Bhagavatam, sell them a set, and go on. So the scope is there. People in India, for all their running towards materialism, still many of them can take up Krishna consciousness. They can take these books. Prabhupada very much, he was so keen for that. One of my godbrothers, Manidhar Prabhu, he's been known since the day he joined the movement for being a book distribution fanatic. He joined in Germany. So now he's, I don't know what age, 50 plus, mid 50, I don't know exactly. But he's still a book distribution fanatic, and he just goes all everywhere, and everyone knows that he goes all over Europe and just infuses all the devotees about book distribution. And devotees asking him, how can you be so enthusiastic all the time for book distribution? He said, because I know this is, Prabhupada wanted this so much. So this book distribution, there's no doubt that Prabhupada emphasized this more than any other program. And the scope here in India is tremendous, because people here, unlike any other country in the world, have an interest in Krishna consciousness. Of course, there are Indians in other parts of the world, or Hindus. We find the Bangladeshi Hindus are interested in Prabhupada's books. Or maybe, I'm sure, in Fiji and different places. And there are people in the West who are interested. It seems that gradually, as Prabhupada said, people are hankering after these books. So it seems that gradually people are developing some interest in these books. But still there's a lot of difference between distributing the books in the West and in India. Who's distributed books in the West? Anyone? No, he didn't. Only in the West of India, but not in the Western world. It's a lot more difficult. When you see the book distribution scores, we see that Indian temples on top, but really it's different in the Western countries. People in general, they're walking along, they have no interest to pull $10, $20 out to buy a book, which to them, you know, all this funny writing and on topics which they're not interested. But somehow by spiritual potency, devotees are distributing these books. There's more scope here. And the effect of Prabhupada's books is tremendous. We're seeing that now. We're seeing it by all of you here. You're all coming because of Prabhupada's books. Otherwise, most of you are coming from student backgrounds. I was going to colleges in the 1970s in India, and it's a very different response to now. Mostly all of the students, they would make fun of you, either to your face or behind your back, and tell jokes, and they just thought it was a big joke. Things have changed. And when we tried to speak in the 1970s in India about Bhagavan is a person, no, 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 everyone would reject it. Complete Mayavad, like a big, thick wall of Mayavad. Still we meet some people like that, but it was everyone. We'd find a rare Vaishnav who was, of course there were many Vaishnavas, but most of them are Mayavadis too. If you speak with them just for 2-3 minutes, you'll find that they're actually Mayavadis also. But things have changed in India, and I would put it, the fact that Shuddha Bhakti can be preached in India today, I put down mostly to the distribution of Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is. Widespread distribution. Not nearly widespread enough, but still it's pretty widespread. Just like I was saying in Bangalore, Bhagavad Gita as it is, we take it, practically every home's got And still they take. So why don't you take another one? Okay. Still they take. In all the states, wherever you go, in Maharashtra, in Gujarat, the book people mostly want is Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes devotees used to ask me, why don't you write a book against Mayavad? It's already there, Bhagavad Gita as it is. Krishna himself is speaking so strongly, and Prabhupada brings it. Krishna is saying, I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada is saying, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You fools, you rascals, you demons who don't accept. Very strongly establishing. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In various ways, throughout his books, straightforward, clear. These books need to be distributed. That's a great duty of us as followers of Srila Prabhupada to see. We should consider it our duty, at least as duty. Yesterday the question came up of compassion. First comes duty. That it is our duty to take Prabhupada's order to distribute these books very widely. And then we see some devotees, there are some devotees like Manidhar Prabhu, just as enthusiastic about book distribution as when he joined some, 35 years ago or something. We have in Los Angeles, there are many devotees who are, after so many years, still distributing books. This Bhrigupati Prabhu in Los Angeles, every day, 7 days a week, out distributing books. How old is he? I don't know, 55, something like that. Quiet. He doesn't talk a lot. But when he's out there, he's talking all the time. Then, talking all the time, inducing people to take Prabhu. Vijay Prabhu, did he come here? Vijay, he travels in India also. Distributed so many books. Cool, very cool. It's not haranguing people. Rah, take this book. Rah. Not like very cool, calm. Just he knows how to unlock people's hearts and their wallets so they can take Prabhupada's books. I think you better remove it. It's coming in my eye. Then there's so many devotees. Many not even known. There's one devotee in Denver, Colorado. Nidra Devi Dasi. Every day for how many years? It's before most of you were even born. Before that time, she was out every day distributing books. And she's still going on. Every day she's out distributing Prabhupada's books. So how is it they're able to go on? Then you see compassion. Beyond duty. Duty, the concept of duty comes, I'm doing it because I have to, but I don't really want to. But compassion means someone who's going on and on and on, preaching like this, distributing Prabhupada's books. Even you see, you become a sannyasi and people say, Jai Maharaj. There could be some element of personal gratification. Book distributor going out in the cold, in the rain, in the snow, in the rainy season, in India, in the heat, year after year after year. It's not a prestige service. It used to be in ISKCON, but nowadays not so much. But devotees who do that, we can understand that they're really on the platform of not interested in personal, not being praised, but they have compassion that we want. People should take these books. These persons who are nashta drisha, who have lost their vision due to the darkness of ignorance in this age of Kali, they shall get light specifically from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So there's tremendous opportunity here in India to distribute sets, either full sets of Bhagavatam, or we can take sets of small books. In Madurai, they're doing that. They have one-year programs. One year they smothered the whole area in Bhagavad Gita, and then they have now this year they're doing one set of small books, 100 rupees. And they're, okay, take it. So people get like 12 small books all at once. So they're making plans that the people, there is some interest here. People have, and if they get Prabhupada's books, that will prepare them or give them the opportunity for coming directly in contact with the highest truth given by the highest devotee who so much wanted that these books be widely distributed. So there's no book comparable to Srimad Bhagavatam, and there's no devotee comparable to Srila Prabhupada. And it is the desire of Srila Prabhupada that his followers distribute these books, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, very widely. This is the parampara coming down. Vyasadev, Shukdev, so many acharyas wrote commentaries on the Bhagavatam, and Prabhupada gave the essence of it all in a manner suitable for the modern man. That kalo nashta drishamesha purana ko dinoditaha. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness in this age of Kali shall get light from this Bhagavat Purana. Janataga viplavaha. This Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for making a revolution in the misdirected lives of a sinful population. So let us endeavor like that. Everyone should endeavor to spread this Bhagavat philosophy. And this distribution of Prabhupada's books, it's a joint effort. Everyone has their part to play. Everyone can do. One book, two books a day, 100 books, 200 books a day, 1,000 books, 2,000 books a day. Some devotees have done. Even in the Western countries, some devotees, here you can do. You can go to some factory owner and sell 5,000 books a day. But in the Western countries, to distribute, some devotees, they were doing on the streets, approaching one person after another and distributing more than 1,000 books in a day, big books. They would sell sets on the street, empowered devotees. So some devotees are selling hundreds and thousands, some are selling one or two, but it all adds up. And I wanted to speak about this actually, it just came up today, the subject matter of Bhagavatam, because I'm seeing that even though in India we're distributing so many books, it's not as many. We don't have as many Sankirtan parties as we used to. It seems that we've become kind of complacent here in India, that we're saying, well, we've distributed so many books. We don't have so many parties going out. We don't have so much emphasis as we used to have. In Juhu now they have 2 Sankirtan bus parties. They used to have 6. Well, we should have gone up. Prabhupada said, double it. He wanted the book distribution doubled every year. Even when Prabhupada was passing away, devotees were begging him, please stay. Prabhupada said, you double the book distribution every year, I'll stay as long as you go on increasing the book distribution. That was his condition. But anyway, Krishna decided he wanted to take Prabhupada. But Prabhupada said, I will live forever in my books. When Prabhupada was asked, what will happen to this room when you die? Prabhupada said, I will never die. I will live forever in my books. So this point I was considering, I should start to emphasize this, because it seems that in India we're becoming a little complacent about this point. We're not putting so much emphasis on the book distribution as we used to, but it's something that has to be constantly pressed, because unless we do that, our tendency is to forget or marginalize Prabhupada's very strong desire that his books be very widely distributed. Hare Krishna. I'm finishing here. If there's any question, you could ask. Anyone can ask.
That's a long traditional followers of the Vedas. They allege ISKCON that you say that you...
They what?
They allege. Yeah. They accuse that, you know, you say that you are following the Vedic literature, but you don't publish or distribute any of the Vedas. They're not available in India.
No, because we have Srimad Bhagavatam, which is more, sarvavedaitihasanam saram saram hi udaharitam, which is more important for this Kali Yuga, which that you give them Jiva Goswami's Tattva Sandarbha, he's established this point. You still have some actual Vedic scholars here in Pune. It's a traditional center. Well, actually, all over India, people, there used to be so many Brahmana men pundits. And then it became, there were some traditional centers of learning. Navadvipa was one, Varanasi was another, Kanchi. Still there are some. In Sri Rangam there's a Vedic Pathshala, Sri Vaishnava, Rig Vedi. There are here and there, you'll find. And Pune, I don't think it's a traditional center because it's a modern city, isn't it? It's only come up in the last, 100 years or so, this city? Is it an ancient city? I don't think so. How old is this city? Does anyone know? No one knows.
Actually, at the time...
But at least since the time of... Since the time of Shivaji, it's been an important city. Yeah, then probably from that time it was a center of... Well, that's quite some time ago. It's been a center of Vedic learning. What about this Lokmanya Tilak? Where was he from? He was from here. That's their Vedic learning. Hare Krishna. Of course, they might reject the Bhagavad Gita also.
Maharaj, the idea that smritis are not a part of the Vedic literature. The idea that smritis are not a part of the Vedic literature. This was said by Shankaracharya also before, or it was Arya Samaj only who started it?
Shankaracharya, no. I don't believe he was the one who started that. Because, I mean, he wrote many stutis for Krishna, Nrisimhadev, Durga Devi, which, that's one of the claims of the Vedic scholars, that all of this is coming from the Puranas, the whole bhakti cult and cult of the even worship of demigods. But Shankaracharya, he wrote so many stutis, so I don't know where. Even you see like this Arya Samaji, they're against the deity worship. But then Shankaracharya, he also, that's one of his contributions, you could say, was establishing or re-establishing deity worship. So it may be that definitely the modern the orthodox followers of Shankaracharya, that means like the especially the two Shankaracharyas in South India, one of whom doesn't the Sringeri doesn't recognize Kanchi as being actually, because Kanchi Pitam, that wasn't started by Shankaracharya himself, although it's respected in Tamil Nadu especially. But definitely they emphasize on Veda more. They don't put any emphasis on Puranas. But whether they actually reject Smriti, I'm not sure. Again, Shankaracharya himself commented on Gita, which is considered part of the Smriti. Or then again, it may be considered part of the Shruti because Yasvayam Padmanabhasya Mukha Padmad Vinisritam. But generally, it's considered because it's part of the Mahabharata, it's part of the Smriti. Although it's clear that Vyasadeva compiled Mahabharata. So if you're going to blame Vyasadeva, then he's accepted as the compiler. He's Veda Vyas. So he's also Mahabharata Vyas and Purana Vyas. Although they'll say that this idea of Bopadev making the Puranas, I believe this was first propagated by Dayananda Saraswati, not by Shankaracharya.
Maharaj, the purport here says that Bhagavatam talks about Nivritti Marg, but generally say Nivritti refers to Gyan, so Pravritti, Nivritti and Bhakti, are they different? Nivritti and Bhakti is the same?
Nivritti refers to Gyan.
That was my understanding because...
Well, it's a broad term. As I said, Nivritti, it basically means negation. So that was the position of Shukadeva Goswami at first. He was engaged more in negation of the negation of the negative, but he didn't really come to the positive until he came to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the point. Shukam adhyapayamasa nivritti niratang munihi. He was already engaged in self-realization, but then he heard from, and that will be discussed in the next few verses, that Shonak Rishi says, then he asks Suta Goswami that then why, the verse in the next verse, the word comes, Atmarama Savai Nivritti Nirata. You said he's Nivritti Nirata. He's engaged in Nivritti. Savatro Pekshako Munihi. He's in all respects, he's detached. That's my translation. Yeah, that's what's given in the Sanskrit also. So why did he undertake such a big study, this big Srimad Bhagavatam? He's already detached from everything. Then why did he get himself engaged in this if he's already Atmaramaha? So what's the reply to that? Atmaramascha munayo. They're nirgranta. Means they're not interested in any materialistic granta, but they're sagranta, this Bhagavad granta. You're saying the same question as Shonak Rishi asked. You're elevated in spiritual understanding. Hmm?